I saw this old sermon. I don't know why it was laying on my desk, because I certainly didn't dig it out for any reason, but it was lying there. And I looked at it and I thought, this is good for us old people. So I reworked it into a Bible study. Well, apologies to Abe if he's here today, because yesterday at 7 in the evening, Gary phoned me and said, there's something going on and I can't preach on tomorrow morning. Can you come and preach for me? I said, sure. Right now, I'm not sure I should have said sure, but I did. But just to get back at Gary, and Carol, you can tell him this. There was a sign on a church board out front, and it said, come visit. This is a good time. Our pastor is away. Anyway, maybe when we're done this morning, you'll wish I'd have been away. But that's a little bit of what has been going on. And one thing that has really been burning in my heart, and I've shared this with a few people, is where are we as a church going? How are we getting there? And how can we go there knowing it's God's will and that we don't want to stand in God's way? And that can be a very heavy message, but I want it to be a theme of hope and praise. This scripture jumped out at me when I prepared it for the Bible study with the seniors, but it still jumps out at me. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, etc. Forget the former things. I mean, if I'd have been an Israelite and I had wandered through the Red Sea and I'd seen God part the waters and I had seen him stop the Egyptians in the middle of that, and I might have wondered before that how crazy it is to stand here before the Red Sea while the Egyptians are coming with their chariots, and how are we going to get out of here, and it's stupid to walk into the water. And it was such a wonderful, miraculous thing that happened. And now God is coming to these people who experienced this and says, forget about that. Why? Because I am doing a new thing. And that just makes me tingle all over to hear those words. When I was a little bit younger and probably in a lot better shape, John and Nettie Friesen and June and I decided we were going to take a trip to Disneyland. And we did. And being a good Mennonite, I planned it so that it would coordinate with attending the Billy Graham School of Evangelism in Anaheim. I mean, you know, and then I can do all of these other wonderful things because I'm doing them for a right reason. I'm first of all going to this school of evangelism that Billy Graham is putting on. Plus, he paid my trip. Anyway, coming back, we get to Utah, and I just all of a sudden I'm short of breath. I can't do this. I can't do that. We stop at Bryce Canyon. Have any of you ever been to Bryce Canyon? It's one of the more beautiful spots on earth that I know of. And I got out of the car and I walked maybe 20 feet to the edge of the canyon for this viewpoint. And I was so out of breath, I could hardly make it back to the car. We got back to the car. We drove. I think we stayed in Ogden or someplace like that for night. And the next morning we headed on. We get to Salt Lake City, and there is such a snowstorm. My windshield wipers wouldn't even take the slush off the windows. And I'm out of water. So we decide we're going to turn off the main road. We're going to find a service station because I got to get this fixed. 20 minutes or so later, we get back to the highway and the road's closed because there's been a multi-car pileup 20 minutes down the road. Makes you stop and think. About a year before this, we were living in Tabor at the time, and I'd walk across the Mormon parking lot, their church parking lot, to go uptown. And I started to feel kind of funny every time I walked on the Mormon parking lot. And I began to think about their theology and my theology. They say they believe in Jesus Christ. But their Jesus Christ is a different Jesus Christ than the one that I worship. And so I wrote this ditty. Oh, praise you, Jesus, you are the Lord of Lords. Oh, praise you, Jesus, you are the King of Kings. Oh, praise you, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Oh, praise you, Jesus. You died for me. And because that's just a short chorus, I had to put some verses in. Remember David, Lord, he was a shepherd man, and you anointed him to be a king of men. And when he stumbled, Lord, you picked him up again, and you forgave his sin. You died for him. Remember Peter, Lord, he was a fisherman, and you anointed him to go and fish for men. And when he sank down, Lord, you picked him up again, and you forgave his sin. You died for him. Remember me, O Lord. You are my destiny, and you anointed me to witness unto thee. And when I falter, Lord, then come and rescue me, and then forgive my sin. You died for me. Well, all the way through Utah back in 92, I was singing this song in my spirit and in my soul. Oh, praise you, Jesus. You are the Lord of Lords. Oh, praise you, Jesus. You are the King of Kings. Oh, praise you, Jesus. You are the Son of God. Oh, praise you, Jesus. You died for me. If I read this scripture the way I understand it to be, I need to forget about that. Do you know why? Because he wants to do something new that's better than what he's done before. For the Israelites, we can understand what happened. Jesus came as Messiah. But what's going to happen for us in the coming days? Forget the former things and don't dwell on them. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert. Streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I have formed for myself. I've been thinking of our histories. Delivery out of war-torn Europe from the Russian persecution, I'll bet you if I sat down and asked you, most of you could write a story, either about your own life or about the life of those people that have been special to you who walked in that journey and experienced that deliverance. Lesser and greater mercies. Yet God says, forget it. I am doing something new that will even be better than that was. Nothing is compared to what I'm going to do. Look, I've already begun. Drink for my chosen people, that they might declare my praise, like it says in Psalm 126. Our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue with shouts of joys, and then the nations praised God. Away in the unknown, the uninhabited regions, the places where we have never dwelt before, the empty areas, the confused and tangled things. Do you know, people, if we believe that Jesus Christ sent his Holy Spirit to be with us, then we need to believe that he is going to gift us and guide us as we continue. Thank you so much for that Sunday school this morning. It was right there, Henry. Refreshment in the dry places, in the barren places, in the places incapable of supporting almost anything. One of the things that we as people in the kingdom of God, and particularly in his church, struggle with is change. And I remember I took a course one time. It was called Making the Small Church Effective. And right at that time, the church that I was pastoring was having a serious debate about changing the pews in the church. The church had bought theater seats out of an old theater, and they were comfortable actually to sit in. But the springs were coming through the fabric, and ladies would have to go and buy a new pair of nylons. In those days, they all wore nylons for the next Sunday. And we were talking about what to do, and do we get new pews? And some people said, we can't get rid of these pews. These are our pews. And in this course, it said, the reason people don't want to change hymn books or pews, or even the places where they sit in church, is because that's where they've sat and sang and been blessed by God. And if I take my pew away, maybe I'll lose my place of blessing. And this book said, listen, we need to understand that God blesses us, not because we're in that pew, but because we're here in his presence. Guess what? I shared that in the meeting, and we unanimously voted to get new pews. But isn't that a strange dynamic among us, God's people, that we don't see the full picture of the presence of God in our midst? And we rather see the place where we sit and the place that we sit on and the things that we sit with in that place as being the totality of our blessing. Those are the barren places, the places that are incapable of supporting anything different. And we forget that the Holy Spirit nourishes us, especially in those places and at that time. Listen, everybody here this morning, we are His chosen people. He picked us. It's not like when I was a kid and they were picking players for the baseball team because I was always the last one chosen. But He came and He said, "Hey, Nick, I need you on my team." And He's done this for one reason, and one reason only, that we might declare His praise. My dictionary says that praise is an expression of approval, esteem, and commendation. It's to approve of what God does and of how He wows us. It means to admire God in wonder and in delight of Him. And it means to commend the worthiness of God, to express His worthiness. Oh, how God walks with us and blesses us in the unknown and barren places. Is God about to do a new thing in our midst? Something formerly unknown to us? Something greater than that which we have known? Something that will lead us to commend His worth, and that will lead us to express His worthiness? I can't answer that on my own. But there's a couple of things that I do know. I know that God walks with us and blesses us in the unknown and in the barren places. And secondly, I do know that if we turn to Him, if we put on the garments of praise in our times of heaviness, as Isaiah assures us in 61:3, I know that He will do new and wondrous things in our midst. Are you with me? Let's pray. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come before Your throne of grace this morning, we ask that You still us so that we can wait upon You and look to You for the new and wondrous things that You wish to do in our midst and in our lives. Give us the grace and the strength and the joy and the blessing to offer You unending praise for what You have done for us, approval of Your ways, admiration of You, wonder and delight, and expressing Your worthiness to us corporately and individually. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.